Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Good morning, Memphis. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins today on 92.9 FM ESPN. Both of the Jeffs are gone. Jeffrey Wright, not here. Jeff Calkins, at a wedding. So it is George. I like to refer to him as King George because that's his Twitter handle. On the other side of the glass from me today, George, how are you doing, fella?
Morning. We're good. We got in a little later than we wanted to this morning.
Yeah. You know. Well, it was a late night for me, staying up watching my Cubbies find a way.
That's right.
To force a game 5 against the Milwaukee
Congratulations
Brewers.
On that too.
I know. It's setting up for a massive, massive Saturday for me. I'm gonna be in Dallas, Texas. I won't be at the Grizzlies game Saturday, unfortunately. But if you...
You'll see me there.
Yeah. Well, you'll
come
be there.
Come on down.
I'll be in Dallas, Texas, checking out Red River.
I'll keep you posted.
I took a day off just to go do something that I enjoy. Yeah. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. We'll end up talking college football at some point, and I'll tell you the story. It's been quite the week trying to figure out how I'm going to pull that off. Virtual baby shower also happening this weekend. Probably not a good idea to do it from the game, but I'll find a way to get it in. We had football last night, too. Wasn't just my Cubbies that won and the Dodgers that won. The New York Giants, the New York football Giants. It's a shame Jeffrey is not here to talk about his team today. Take down the Philadelphia Eagles 34-17. We'll talk a little bit about that here in the open as well. We're also going to talk to Jason Smith today at 9:25. He is also a Cubs fan. He will be, no doubt, be in here celebrating with me the big win as we now move on to Game 5 in the NLDS. And we will talk to my colleague at the Daily Memphian, Chris Harrington, at 10 o'clock. I have a movie specialty novelty thing that's happening that happens to involve two people that usually host this show. I don't know if you saw...
I did not see this.
Channing Tatum, and I'm looking forward to asking Chris about this. Channing Tatum put out an Instagram video that I only know about because my other friend named Jeff put this on his Instagram story. I think it was 21 Jump Street is the movie, and I could be wrong about that. I'm not a huge movie guy, neither are you, where the whole, my name's Jeff.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Came into play. And Channing Tatum put out a video that said, have you been personally victimized by the my name's Jeff joke? And if you have been, come to my new movie Roof Man, which this new movie Roof Man basically, I think it's about a guy who was stealing from McDonald's, like breaking in through the roof, who gets arrested and then goes to jail or prison and then escapes and then ends up living in a Toys R Us for a long time.
Oh,
that's like the basis of the movie.
Okay, yes. I've seen advertisements for it. Yes, so, I have seen ads for this.
So Channing Tatum said, if you have been victimized by the My Name is Jeff joke, then you can come to his new Roofman movie on Friday or Saturday for free. I think it's only at certain theaters. We need to double check to see if this applies in Memphis. But you can come to the theater and watch the movie for free on Friday or Saturday. All you have to do is bring your ID to prove that your name is actually Jeff. So we've got two guys. Too bad they got other stuff going on this weekend. They could be going to see a movie for free, I think. I don't know. We gotta double check that it applies to Malco theaters around here. But yeah, amazing marketing right there. And perfect for this particular show, just not on this particular day.
I wasn't sure, so I was just double checking. It doesn't shock me that it isn't on here. I was looking through our hotkeys, looking through the things we've got queued up in here. I was looking to see if there was a drop for either of them with the My Name's Jeff. Sadly,
they need
that.
We got to figure that one out. Yeah,
I'm sure we can get that locked.
That one needs to get added at some point, but. No, amazing. I thought of that
That's
this
A+.
Morning.
That's awesome.
As I was on my way down here. But we have a lot to get to. We mentioned there was a Thursday night football game. There was baseball on last night. One thing that sort of stood out in the news cycle yesterday across Memphis, and I was there for it, Ja Morant surprisingly spoke. Usually they don't allow players that are hurt and not available to play in games to speak. And so it came as a little bit of a surprise that Ja was talking to the media yesterday. The Grizzlies and FedEx got together. It was the first time that they had done this, but they plan to do it several more times across the city. They built what they were calling a dream court, and this was the inaugural dream court, and it was at a Boys and Girls Club in Memphis. It was a beautiful basketball court. They renovated the heck out of the thing. At some point, I'm going to get a chance to write about it, and it'll go up over at the Daily Memphian today. But beautiful mural in the background, brand new refurbished floor, brand new padding in the gym. And so they brought in all these students yesterday, and they were all so excited to be there, so excited to have this new gymnasium opened. And it was already this awesome moment. And they bring in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Javon Small, and Ja Morant. They all sit down. They do the brief like announcement and thank yous for everybody that made the gym happen. And Ja surprises these kids with, I believe they were Ja 2s, Ja 1s or Ja 2s, 100 pairs of free sneakers. The kids are going crazy in the gym. Ja had the biggest smile on his face. You could tell he loved it. Which is always good to see, especially as he's sort of, you know, dealing with an injury. And so, awesome moment. Still wasn't expecting Ja was going to talk. Then afterwards, he comes off to the side, talks to the media. You know, all the questions are sort of like, you know, what's it like to be part of this moment and surprise the kids and do all. And I'm not going to lie, like, the media that was there, and I was one of them. It was like me and DeMichael and a few others. And I made eye contact with DeMichael. He made eye contact with me. And we were kind of like, all right, who's going to ask about the ankle? Like, so like, this is a very nice moment.
Yeah.
And we want to give it its due. And this is lovely. And shout out. Like, I mean, you need to, you know, shout out to the community. I'm so glad Ja was able to do that. And the Grizzlies are doing so. But, like, somebody had to ask about the ankle. Like, and DeMichael stepped up.
I was like, no, my thing is, like, knowing both of you guys, I can just imagine this. We're just like.
Yeah. We were kind of just, like, looking across at each other, like, who's going to be the one that's going to do it? And DeMichael stepped up and asked. He just said something. I think the question was, how's the ankle? Ja Morant says, it's good. You know? And he says, well, so should fans be worried about you missing open night? Opening night for the Grizzlies, and he said, quote, they just be tweaking, Morant said, panicking, nothing to be crazy about. If I'm smiling and I ain't telling you to worry, you ain't got to worry. So there you have it. You ain't got to worry about Ja Morant being available for the Memphis Grizzlies on opening night. I think we're all guilty of, like, maybe reading a little too much into Twitter, you know, and the initial reactions of people, like, dropping to their knees and screaming to the sky, no, at the Ja Morant, like, minor ankle sprain injury report. And I'm sure Ja sees that. I don't think too many people are all that panicked, although you go read the comments section on the story and people seem to be still negative about it. That's just the way life works. It never seemed to be anything that was overly serious. And we also have to remember that Ja has a very long history of healing pretty quickly from these types of things.
Yeah.
Or at least returning sooner than expected. I don't think that the certainty level is 100% that Ja will be playing on opening night, but I think it's high enough to where, as Ja said, you ain't got to worry. So does this make you feel better about the start of the season at all? Or was this already your expectation, George, and you still are concerned based on the early preseason returns for this Grizzlies team?
Obviously, it makes me feel better. I mean, for what it's worth, I don't think I was in the camp of, oh, he's going to miss a ton of time, anything like that. From what we saw week to week, ankle sprain, and the fact that it wasn't like a Grizzlies PR, you know, update, right. Like it didn't hit my timeline like that, always made me feel a little bit less concerned about it. Because usually when it's Grizzlies PR, I'm like, oh no, all right, this is bad. Or in the case of what we got a couple weeks ago from them, not that bad. Like it was a mixed bag the first time around. It makes me feel better, but I do still have other concerns that weren't related to, you know, our backcourt and primary ball handlers.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's a good observation and not one that I had thought of. You know, yeah, there's a big difference between we need to make a formal announcement and we're going to draw up a
press release, all that, yeah.
And we feel like we need to make an announcement and one of the team's PR staff texting DeMichael and I saying,
Hey, by the way,
they're not going to play because of whatever, XYZ, which is, you know, essentially what team spokesperson means, right?
It
just means they're just telling us. Versus like us having to like go out and report it, which is typically something you have to do when the injury is a little bit more secretive, and in this case was not. So I thought that was always a positive sign. That was not something I had thought of, but you're right. If it doesn't have a formal news release to it, it's usually not as big of a deal. The Grizzlies will play the Hawks on Saturday at 7:00. It'll be their final preseason home game. There's a lot to clean up still when you watch these preseason games. And it was really difficult for me on Wednesday night. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday on Jason and John's show. It was really challenging for me to find takeaways from a game like that, especially when the other veterans aren't playing. But I found it kind of hard to find takeaways even from Monday's game, because the optimistic outlook is there if you want to take it. Like if you want to look at the plus minus from Monday's game, like Jerome and KCP were both great and like the starters played pretty well. And if you want to tell yourself that that's, you know, all you needed to see and that's good enough, then fine, you can do that. I thought there was more to that game than just that. And there were some depth pieces that were not as good that you do think are going to play at some point this season in that game. And so I found this entire preseason so far, maybe outside of training camp and like just getting a baseline for what they want to try to do to begin with, to be really difficult to analyze, more difficult than it typically is. And that's just because of who's missing. Because we know this offense is entirely built around Ja and Jaren, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be a spam Ja and Jaren type of offense. And without those two guys on the court, you have lots of players trying to do different things that they're not used to trying to do. They're playing in roles that they don't know if they can play. They're playing in roles that they don't know how to play right now under Isla's system. And so that was my number one question exiting Wednesday night is, have we learned anything about this team? Have we truly learned anything about this team? And the more that I've had time to sort of chew on it and think about it, one of the things I'll be really curious to see early on in the season, and it's something that I think circles back to a controversial viewpoint that Taylor Jenkins had, is Isla has made it clear, or at least suggested in the past, that he would like the team to play really fast, but he wants the team to play at a higher level of intensity than the opponent in shorter bursts, and that he's going to, you know, use his bench, use his rotation, because he wants to keep legs fresh and he wants to be able to play at a higher level than the opponent. Now, that's a lot different philosophy than Tom Thibodeau had previously, you know, at the Knicks, where he would just abuse his starters and just play them the whole entire game. And I think that's probably the preferred method by fans, is to use more of your starters and less of your bench. But that's not sort of the philosophy that Isla suggested. And the reason behind it was, he said, you know, if you're trying to do things like every other team in the NBA, you can expect the same results as every other team in the NBA. At some point, you have to do something innovative and different to try to find an edge. And I agree with that thinking, right? Logically, that makes sense. I'm a little worried about that strategy with this Grizzlies team, because what we've seen so far is, like, I'm not sure they have enough dudes to do that. Like, there are probably 9 players that I trust as legitimate, serious NBA rotation players at this moment. Like, Cedric Coward looked better. He's going to be in the rotation. But at this moment, he hasn't proven yet that he is a serious NBA role player that can, you know, actually bring you production on the court. You know, I trust John Conchar a little bit more than that right now. And I know John Conchar is, like, controversial, but from a production standpoint, there's an expectation and a level that he meets. Now, it's the level of a guy that's the 10th or 11th man on a roster, but every team has a guy that's the 10th or 11th man on the roster. And so I think right now the Grizzlies they have some work to do, and they have some things to work through. And it's going to be difficult, I think, to try to figure out exactly what all these rotations are going to look like and how they fit together. And they won't be able to truly do that until they're playing in the regular season. So it is a little concerning for me, that these games have gone sort of the way that they have, because I expected a little bit more out of some of these other guys that you're thinking, oh, well, maybe if they emerge, they'll crack the rotation and they'll play. I'm talking about the GGs, the Vince Williams Juniors, that level of player. It's 2 preseason games. It's just the preseason. It doesn't count, Drew. Like, I've had to tell myself that 50 times. But I want to, at some point during this preseason, I want to be shown something, right? I feel like I haven't been shown anything yet by this team.
Yeah, I'm definitely in that same boat of, okay, if there are any actual takeaways from what we've seen, it isn't. It's a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. On one hand, the veterans look like veterans. They look like guys that not just...
But didn't we all expect that?
But that's the thing. That was the expectation. Sure, we've seen guys like Jalen Wells play really well, but we expected that. Same with Ty Jerome, KCP, those guys. We kind of came in, and it's almost the same reaction I have with Conchar, with Jitty, is there's a baseline, and we kind of know what that baseline of performance is. And they're meeting that. It's everyone else that we expect and need to get up to speed that it doesn't look like is there quite yet. And to your point on the system and the philosophy and the thinking, one thing that I do want to give Isla credit for, and he's brought it up, we've all brought it up, he definitely seems to look at everything in a very logical manner. And what I mean by that in this kind of instance is if his system or if what he wants to do doesn't just work, I think he's going to give it enough run. But if it continues to flounder and they continue to just not get it or not play well, I think he's enough of a pragmatist to go back and be like, all right, wait a second, guys. Take a break. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Let's see where we need, where do we need to make these adjustments. He seems like an actual coach that's going to make these adjustments, not just try to do the same thing over and over and over again until it works. And we even saw that at the end of last season and going into the playoffs, which I understand, you know, it was just a trial run. He didn't really have a lot of practice time, but it was enough time. And we saw him in games sitting down with the entire team, talking with everybody. And that's one thing that I really appreciated about getting to see it in person as often as I did in the playoffs and in last season's kind of end run. Every single timeout, every single break, it was never just, hey, coach is here, he's holding court. He was there with his whiteboard. He was talking to everybody. He was getting input from what felt like every player that was in the huddle or was on the court at the time or whoever was going in. And we saw that. He wasn't just, okay, we're going on this short rotation. Everybody's in, out to keep the legs fresh. It was, hold up, wait a second. That wasn't working. The bench wasn't playing as well as it needed to, especially in these instances where, okay, we're down, or okay, the team is struggling with what we're trying to do. Let's leave the starters out there a little bit more. Let's give them some more run. Let's give them some more minutes. I mean, that was what felt like the initial reaction a lot of the times come, you know, 4 or 5 games into his tenure at the end of last season. It was, okay, we're seeing all of our starters only getting, say, what, 22 to 25 minutes a game. Okay, we're touching the 30s now. We're pushing these guys into the 33, 34-minute mark. These guys are getting more run out, and the team was playing better because of it.
Yeah, I think that there's – yes, he is, as Chris Harrington used in a text to me, a professed pragmatist, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says he is a pragmatist. And there might be some short history, as you just mentioned, of him actually
– and that could be sample size. That,
right?
It could be sample size.
I do one thing I'm interested in learning, and like this is not an accusation towards him and saying like you're lying, you're not a true pragmatist. I'm not saying that at all. But it's been interesting to listen to them in the preseason because it's clear he has this belief it conceptually in how they're going to play. And that's already trickled down to the players, right? You hear someone like Santi Aldama say after Wednesday night's game, you know, they've given us, coach says he's given us the tools to be successful. Now we just got to do it. We got to play within this structure, right? And that's a seems to be a pretty firm structure, a structure that the players haven't fully grasped at this point, a structure that, you know, as Isla said, has them playing with a handbrake on. And maybe that's why, you know, we still have this desire to see a little bit more, but it's because they're doing things that they're not used to doing, and they're trying to think the game in a different way. They're not playing to their strengths. And so here we are as dumb, impatient onlookers that are watching ugly preseason games and going, well, can we see something positive out there, right? But it's really actually happening behind the scenes, and we just can't see it because we don't see the game the same way as someone like Isla. And that could be absolutely correct. But those two things, to some degree, run into each other. Of I'm this pragmatist that it looks at the game this way, or that, you know, isn't afraid to change the way I think about things. But also, this is the structure that we're installing. We're going to play to this, and you know, the players aren't playing to their strengths right now. But eventually, they'll learn to play in this structure, and it's going to work. You know, I do think that they, you know, on a very basic level, as you view that, they might conflict. I'd be really interested for someone to ask Isolo sort of about that. And I'm sure he would give a very thoughtful answer because he always does. I mean, when I asked him about using the eye test to evaluate some of these players, he gave an almost 2-minute and 30-second answer, you know, about all the things that sort of go into analyzing these games, because for someone that doesn't, that isn't viewing the game through the same prism as him, for us, the Grizzlies fans around town, the Grizzlies media, you know, it's been hard to come away with takeaways from the first two games, I think, just because of, you know, how, you know, we're not looking at the game in at the same level that they are. And so, you know, I would just like to see, like, there's three more preseason games and maybe it'll come. Maybe, you know, something clicked there late. I'd like to see a good Cedric Coward performance, one where he's aggressive and getting shots up and, like, something to build a little confidence there. Like, it's so easy for us to flip the way we feel about the Grizzlies. It just takes one of these preseason games for them to kind of put it together, and maybe that's on the way. But I think that watching the first two games, if we're being honest, it's been a pretty rough watch. Like, it hasn't been that entertaining of a product, but that's in part because of the situation with the injuries and in part because of the situation with trying to install a new conceptual idea of how you're going to play. So we will see what happens with the Grizzlies, and we'll talk more about the Grizzlies with Chris Harrington. We did also have a Thursday night football game last night, George, and the Giants ran away with one against the Philadelphia Eagles. Cam Scataboo, the scat trick, I think is what they're calling it, with three touchdowns on the ground last night for the Giants. Did the Eagles fool you? Because they've had one of the worst offenses in the NFL. Did they fool you into thinking that they were a better team than they actually are? And is this just a blip on the radar for the Eagles, or should we be seriously worried about where they're headed this season?
Ooh. The first half of that, I think, is tougher in a way to ask, did they fool us? Because if you look at it, a lot of the personnel is exactly the same as what they had last year when they kind of just dominated and crushed everybody in their path on their way to a Super Bowl. So I don't think we were fooled by anything, but I do think we need to put a little bit of stock, put a little bit of credence into the fact that, hey, they're just, it feels like at this point, weirdly enough, they feel like the Buccaneers. They just keep rotating coordinators in and out every year because we see the offense. We see how they're able to put up points. We see how they play. Dominating time of possession. And all of a sudden, then, you know, Hurts is on what, his third offensive coordinator in a handful of seasons, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to have an impact on the offense. And then, of course, there are the health concerns.
Yeah, I know. You have an offensive line that's been amazing, but is also getting older and is now getting
worn down.
Yeah, worn down, and they can't throw the ball. Like, Jalen Hurts goes through these spurts. I feel like he's like a very hot and cold player.
Yeah,
I remember this from the days that he played at Alabama. There were games where he's throwing the ball downfield, and you're like, man, this guy can really rip it. And I still think he's a really good downfield passer. He had a bad game trying to do that last night. But, you know, there were games where he looked great, and then there'd be like a lull. There'd be like stretches of 3 or 4 games where it was rough. And, I mean, last night he had a QBR of 31.1. Like, not going to be good enough to win, you know, division games in the NFL, which are just naturally going to be close no matter who the opponents are. And so, to answer my own question, did the Eagles fool me? I think the answer was yes. Like, you know, it was, yeah, they were winning close games, but it felt like they were a better team than that, and the games were just kind of close as the result of, like, the other team getting up for playing the Super Bowl champions and not necessarily that the Eagles were going to struggle the way that they have, you know, and they won a bunch of games, and all of a sudden it's starting to come undone, and the lack of production, I should say, on offense is now starting to catch up to this team. And I still think they're good. I think defensively they have the right talent. They didn't have Jalen Carter last night, which is a huge loss. And
oh yeah, he's a game wrecker.
Yeah, and then you watch Scataboo just like run all over the place against them. Obviously, that was a big difference maker in this game. But yeah, I think Philadelphia has some serious problems. Maybe more so than we expected, as they were winning close games early on this season. We just sort of expected them to continue to do so, because that's what we've seen the Chiefs do, right? That's what we've seen a lot of these teams do over the years. But they are not as good. Also, Jackson Dart.
He was excellent last night.
Yeah. He might be the real deal.
To me, that was my main takeaway from the game, is that the game plan and the scheme that they were rolling out there for Dart and this offense, it was sustainable. I think that's the biggest thing that I want to see with these teams playing with rookies or young quarterbacks, is how sustainable does the offense look? And to me, it looks sustainable because, in a way, they let Dart do what he likes to do. They ran a lot of the option. Now, that got very frustrating at the end of the game, where he very clearly rushed the concussion protocol, got back into the game, and then is still just, hey, let's run some quarterback power. Let's run some option, you know, runs here with our quarterback. And I'm like, guys, he just got his head taken off. He just bonked his head on someone's knee and had to go to the tent for that. Like, you know, let's let him settle back in a little bit more easily. But the actual passing game was sustainable. A lot of play action when you've got a run game that can move the ball up and down the field. And they've got three running backs, really, that can do that. Between Scataboo, I understand Singletary's a veteran, but he can get tough yardage. And Tyrone Tracy coming off of an injury, I mean, that's an explosive back. We saw that last season with them. So it was a well-run offense. It was sustainable, I think, from what Dart did. He didn't do anything crazy. His downfield passes were pretty much on time. The couple times that they got these pass interference calls downfield were well-placed footballs. It wasn't like he was really throwing it into dangerous areas. I will say one other thing for Philly. Quinyon Mitchell going out early in that game.
Yeah.
Huge, huge, because Kelee Ringo, you know, as physical as he is, and as good as he is at the line of scrimmage for a corner, once you get him into deep coverage, I mean, we saw him get burnt by Lil' Jordan Humphrey.
Jordan Humphrey, one of the best names in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. But between Lil' Jordan Humphrey and Jalin Hyatt, I mean, they had Ringo in hell at times down the field.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed by the Giants, especially without Malik Nabers. And they don't really, I guess it's Humphrey now, but they don't have a proven downfield threat. Like, they're missing that in general from their offense, yet they still find a way to be productive passing offense with a rookie quarterback. I think it shows a lot about Jackson Dart. So he was great last night. The Giants get a 34-17 win over the Eagles. All right, we got to move on. We have Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show coming up next. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I have to let this sit for a second and soak it all in. I know my guy on the other side of the phone here is soaking it all in, too. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins today on 92.9 FM ESPN. And now I welcome on my fellow Cubs fan, one of my favorite people to listen to on the radio, Jason Smith. Jason, how are we doing today? How are we feeling after a big win last night?
Oh, I feel great. And then you're blowing me up saying you love listening to me on the radio. You got me floating, Drew. We've got a game 5 on Saturday. My palms are already sweating. Here's the thing. We've already won our first playoff series since 2017. I don't think you and I, as Cub fans, had any sort of dreams about being one game away from the NLCS. And so whatever happens, I think I'm good with it. But let's be real. By the time first pitch rolls around Saturday night, we're going to be a mess. We're going to want to win. But what I'm trying to say, Drew, is it's really a free swing. It kind of is in a way. We weren't expected to go to the NLCS. I didn't expect. I don't know about you. I didn't expect to go to the NLCS. I wanted to get back in the playoffs and be relevant again. Win a playoff series. We did that. So I'm very excited. I'm happy for Ian Happ, who had sort of been a dog this postseason. It gets the big shot. Boyd, too, because last time out he was a mess. And he's able to give us what we need there for, the end of the fourth inning. And so, oh, man. I mean, to shut out the Brewers, it feels good. And
It does feel good. And I agree with everything.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, we're 9-8 against them this year. It's not like this is some, unbeatable team. I mean, we've got a winning a record against them this year if you include the 2-2 now in the postseason. So, listen, I know I sound crazy because at one point I said, oh, this thing's over. Oh, my gosh. We're going to win one in Wrigley. It'll be done last night. Well, now I'm all back in, man. And that's typically the life of us Cubs fans. You know how it goes.
I'm back in, too, and I won't. Yeah, I know we got a lot of Cardinals fans in town, so we're not going to overdo it on the Cubs stuff. I will say this. I agree with everything you said about it feeling like playing with free money.
A little bit.
Except for the fact that we're playing the Brewers. And I just don't like Milwaukee.
Well, I
don't want to lose that game. And so that's why I'm feeling the pressure a little bit because it is Milwaukee.
We took their manager. We took their manager too, right, Drew?
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be sort of a death blow just in the way that, we'll be paying $5 million a year or whatever it was. Now, Craig Counsell, who had not done anything with the Brewers in the postseason, and that's really, and I should probably stop here and say it, it's credit to the Brewers. Like, I mean, what they've done, post-Counsell, I mean, they've just shown what about the manager whatsoever. But if maybe he'll give us an edge, whatever else, I'm with you. I hate that it's the Brewers, but they've been a juggernaut. Let's be real. There'd be no shame in losing to the Brewers, who finished with the best record in baseball. And so I'm telling myself I'll be fine with whatever. But come on, if we lose on Saturday night, I'm gonna be in a foul mood. That said, I can live with it again because the Cubs are relevant again.
Yeah, those that don't follow baseball as closely too, like it's a really interesting decisive game 5 for several reasons. Like the Cubs stole the Brewers manager who was a longtime Brewer as a player, and it was really controversial. And the Cubs also, by the way, lost their very best pitcher going into the playoffs, Cade Horton. And the original thought was maybe he was going to be able to start game 5. I think there's a small fraction of a chance the Cubs can put somebody on the IL and activate Horton to pitch in Game 5. But there's serious questions about pitching for both teams now because the Cubs, Shota Imanaga hasn't been very good in the postseason.
Oh, my gosh.
Colin Ray has been pretty solid, but he's not as talented as Imanaga, so a major decision is coming on the way there. And then the Brewers, like Pat Murphy, their manager, went ahead and started their best pitcher last night, Freddy Peralta, who the Cubs find a way to beat. You would have thought they would probably try to save him for a decisive Game 5. Instead, Pat Murphy just comes out and says, we're trying to win the whole thing. We're not just thinking about this series. We're trying to win the whole thing. So we're pitching this guy now so that we can have him ready for the NLCS. Well, buddy, you got to get out of the you got to get out of the NLDS to make it to the NLCS. And so there will be a lot of people second guessing him if they end up losing Game 5. But it's going to be if you're a baseball fan, it doesn't get any better than Cubs and Brewers. And you know, Cubs fans are going to travel up there. They call it Wrigley North. They say we pay the bills in Milwaukee, and so Milwaukee obviously hates the Cubs. For all those reasons, it's going to be a super fun Game 5.
And one more thing, because I always like it to bring it home and make it local because of my newspaper days. Shout out to the Cubs bullpen, and shout out specifically to Drew Pomeranz, the former Collierville High stud. That I think last time I looked, it was 0-0. He hadn't given up anything 0-0-0. I know, especially in the postseason. But he's been at 36 years old. I think he's 36. George, you can correct me on that. You probably know off the top of your head. But at 36 years old, he's come back and, like, rebuilt his career. And he's been an absolute stud. I covered him back at his Collierville days, back during my early days at the CA. And, again, you know, looking at him all these years later, I mean, the guy's had a career at this point. So if you are a Cardinals fan in Memphis, Tennessee, and sure, you don't like me and Drew talking about the Cubbies, well, pull for us on Saturday just for the fact that, you know, Drew Pomeranz has been a great story, just individually in terms of, you know, doing this at 36 years old, but also in terms of the season he's had for the Cubs. He's been tremendous this year. So
yeah,
y'all jump on for an old – I want to tell you that was Pomeranz ever in the maybe it was his brother. I'm not sure if Pomeranz was ever in the Cardinals organization, but either way, there you got a Memphian. We love bringing it back home. We've localized it for you on Saturday. I don't know if he'll be out there. If he is, it's probably good news for the Cubs.
Yeah, and he got waived. Like, if you cheer for underdogs, this is a guy whose career was dead to rights season.
Yes, exactly.
He was. He signed a minor league deal with the Cubs, found his way back in the majors, his pitching major. Yeah, high leverage innings, and he's been awesome. So I'm very much looking forward to that Game 5. The story of the week, we're talking a lot of Grizzlies today, but I want to ask you about the Tigers. Was Penny's comments about, you know, trying to bring fans back down to FedEx Forum and the crowds? I wouldn't have expected anything different because of everything that's sort of going on in the city, and then also the trends in terms of crowds, and it's a Monday and a Wednesday night for Grizzlies preseason games. They've been pretty light. For the Tigers games, you know, Tigers football, it seems like they're starting to get some good crowds in there. Obviously, was a great crowd there for the Arkansas football game. But then there's Tigers basketball, which when I arrived in Memphis, it was the peak of the Penny Hardaway hype, right? It was just a different atmosphere back then. And one thing I always noticed, and it's something I'm interested in talking to you about, particularly because you have a young son, CJ.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, as a community and the University of Memphis, sort of bridge that gap, especially when the Grizzlies are in town, to the younger generation of fans to make the Tigers matter to those, you know, those young fans that may not, you know, may or may not attend that school, but should care about that school because it matters to our community? How do we bridge the gap between the younger generation of basketball fans in this city and the Tigers? Do you think there's a gap there? Do you think that there's work to be done in order to make that happen?
So I'm glad you asked me this. I'm glad, and I'll use it through the framework of my son, who went to Penny's basketball camp this summer and had an absolute ball. Like, what they did for their kids, I compared it, you know, I'm using it because I was the kid that went to Larry Finch's camp. Back then, you could stay the week. Back then, it was the, I mean, every kid in town, it felt like if you were a kid coming up in Memphis, at some point, you went through Larry's camp. And so all these years later, Penny played for Larry. You got a Tiger back as the head coach, you know, to have Chris there. And then to watch Penny be like Larry in the sense that, man, you know, of course you've got, in this case, Penny's using his entire Tigers team to be these kids' coaches during the week. We didn't get that back with Larry. Now, the one thing Larry would do was he was there. Like it felt like he knew every kid. And sure, you know, we had a relationship with him because my dad was covering him, but he was that way with every kid that was there. And so to see Penny, man, I'm telling you, and I said this then during the week, and I think I said it on the radio, to see him working those kids, man, whether it was through the competitions, he's there on championship. I think Championship Friday ended up being that week. He's there. He's giving the kids the trophy himself. He's taking the pictures, and it's a real personal experience. Back to the heart of your question. And that's Penny right there doing what Larry did. He's making those kids feel what it feels like to be a Tiger. Now, here's the thing. I mean, and it was a wonderful thing to watch. And, man, did I appreciate it, you know, as a father watching my kid get this Memphis basketball experience. They're right there where the Tigers are working out on Championship Friday, right there where they – in that practice facility. Awesome thing, right? And Penny does a great job at that, at connecting himself to the city. Again, a guy who could walk away at any point because it's not a deal where he's trying to climb up a career ladder. This guy's a millionaire. So I say that to say he does an unbelievable job with that. And yet, Drew, I mean, John wrote it, and we can't have this conversation without talking about other, because it's the elephant in the room. You have not been to a Sweet 16 since 2009, since the man we had on the radio, who's no longer the Kentucky coach, the school he left you for. He's now the Arkansas coach. That's how many years it's been, 16 years. You have not made a Sweet 16. And in the end, you know, that's how you pull Memphis in. That's how you create new generations of fans. You can do all the work and the one-on-one. And Penny does, again, I want to stress it, he's doing an unbelievable job with it. But you're not going to connect this new generation of fans to, okay, that was a special personal experience in a camp. Now they want to win. They want to win big. You've got to make deep runs, man. And we can't sit here and have this conversation honestly and not acknowledge that, listen, if you haven't made a Sweet 16 in 16 years, then the idea that you're going to pack a house, pack a form the way you did, the way you were doing back then, still now, come on. Then we've got all the other factors that we talk about, mm-hmm. You know, with going downtown. With now, let's be real, Drew, there's a big difference now. There's a choice. Because, listen, while the Grizzlies might, you know, be going through a reset year or maybe a down year, whatever you want to call it, they still got I would call it a superstar in Ja Morant. I think you would as well. Sure, he needs to be on the court more, but we see this guy. This guy's got he's got the it factor. He's box office. And so, and more importantly, that now professional team is more entrenched in this city. And I know that John Jarrett, at least for this time right now, going to be back on the team next year. That's the other part. College athletics has changed. You've got whole new rosters. P.J. Haggerty, you just fell in love with last year, on his way to being a second-team AP All-American. You probably bought his jersey for your kid. You know what? This one, and we're going to get him back because he's got another year of eligibility, and we don't think he's quite good enough for the NBA. Guys at Kansas State. And now you're trying to talk yourself into, am I going to get attached to these new guys that might be gone after a year? Again, nothing against Doug McDaniel or anybody else, but that's likely the case. And so you can't get connected in the same way that you could in 08 and 09, especially in 08, when you watch that team make a national final with a group that, yes, included a freshman in Derrick Rose, but had a core that had been there for 3 or 4 years that you fell in love with Dorsey and Antonio Anderson and Dozier and those guys. College basketball ain't the same. And so you do have to get into those factors. Now, again, is one Sweet 16 run going to fix it? No. But what these kids, back to again, to sort of put the button on this, you know, what's going to turn their heads and get them connected again in an era where they've got Ja Morant and the Grizzlies that they're, you know, putting out Nike signature shoes and everything else? Well, it's making deep runs in the tournament. I think Penny Hardaway has done it. He's figured it out with schedule in a bad conference. You're going to have to jack up that non-con and do well in it. Got himself a 5 seed. Well, now you've got to break through. Clearly, doing that on a consistent basis is going to require him keeping 8, 9, if maybe you can't, 7, 8, 9, whatever that number is, and not flipping rosters each year. So that's a long answer, but this is a long conversation, and hopefully you know, and sort of circling back. I mean, in the end, it comes back to what John started with. You've got to get it. If you're going to get Memphis basketball back, these kids respond to viral, Drew. We all do these days. Well, you got to be making deep runs. And, hey, if you want to do it at a time the Grizzlies are down, well, that's probably even more of a way, you know, to do it. But, again, that's not to pit the two, because I think in the end, Drew, if they're both winning, you know, you're going to have big crowds at FedEx Forum. And I mean winning, you know, in a significant, nationally relevant way. That is what Memphis fans want. And if you get it back to that, which I think Penny – seems dead set on doing. I mean, it doesn't look like he's going anywhere. He's talking about, I've identified the 7 to 8 guys I think I want for next season. Got to work to keep them back. Hadn't been able to do that the last 2-3 years. He's got to keep chopping at the tree. It's there to be had, but it's going to require, you know, I don't think one Sweet 16 run. It's going to require several being nationally relevant, like that, you know, like those teams that are making the top 25 every year. You're going to have to get that back if you're going to get it up to a point where, you know, you're talking 10,000 plus, 12,000 plus on a regular basis. That said, come on, the ease of television now, Sunday games, you know, being able to see every, you know, that all factors in too. So it's a, you know, it's a tall order to get it back to a point where you were. That's probably never going to happen. But can it be better than it is? Absolutely. And you do that first by being nationally relevant with deep runs in the tournament, but consistently done.
Yeah, I know a couple things on that. One, I think you're right, and when you talk about virality and that sort of thing, the Grizzlies just naturally have an advantage in this situation, and that advantage is talent level, right? It is that you can go downtown and you can watch. And again, I'm not pitting them against each other. I don't want to do that either.
Yeah,
I've covered both teams. I enjoy watching both teams. I attend games. Obviously, I attend a lot of Grizzlies games. I go down for a few Tigers games a year too, and I'll go as somebody that just sits in the crowd. But my point is that when you have Ja Morant and you take CJ down to a game, CJ might see something he never sees on a basketball court ever, because Ja is capable of that.
He could see the NBA dunk of the year, to your point.
He might.
That came against the Celtics. Maybe it was up there, but that's the point. He could see it that night at FedEx Forum.
He might. And when you watch a Tigers game, and this is not like, I don't want anyone to take offense to this, but like, it's a different level of basketball. The quality of the college game is not the same level as the NBA, and that doesn't have any, like, it doesn't mean you shouldn't support the team. That's just the nature of the game itself. There's different reasons why we love college athletics, right? We love the fanfare of it. We love the passion behind it. We love that, you know, these guys, there's so many good human interest stories in college sports as these guys try to fulfill their dreams at that point. And that's why we love college basketball. But the Tigers are never going to do that. The way that you replace that, I think you're right, and John's right to his point, is through team success, right? It's because March is such a magical time of year for basketball fans in general, and you get so into the NCAA tournament, whether your team's in it or not, you're caught up into the storylines of the NCAA tournament. If Memphis was a part of that year in and year out, or every other year, I feel like that, I think you nailed it. That's how you get there. I also wanted to talk about the Cal interview yesterday, because I listened to the entire thing on my way down to the station, he was great. But there was one thing that he kept saying that, to me, I'm not being critical of Cal. I think it's a little bit more complex than he put it, and maybe that's what coaches do. But he kept saying, whatever the problem is in Memphis, you probably remember this very well, whatever the problem is in Memphis, you just got to come together and fix it.
Right.
And that's a great idea, and it's a great notion. But I think the reality of this thing, Jason, is it's much more complex than that. Am I wrong? There's not one problem
issue. It's great. It's idealistic. But again, it was almost like, and we said it to him, Cal, we haven't been to a Sweet 16 since you left. Since you took DeMarcus. I mean, we didn't say it, but the truth is, since you took DeMarcus Cousins and those guys, and listen, there was plenty of opportunity. It's not like this program hasn't invested at a lower level. I mean, it's not like this program hasn't recruited well, you know, and three coaches have had it since then. Josh, Tubby, and Penny, and you haven't been able to get back. And Lord knows, it felt like last year when you were that 5 seed, you know, out of that typical 8-9 range where you're getting the one, Gonzaga, for Penny's 1 year, that second game, and unable to get through and get to a second weekend. you know, that it felt like last year was the year to finally break through. And you did not. You can call it bad matchup. We can say Tyrese Hunter got hurt by his own guy. He was sabotaged by Barack Okoji. I'll hold to that. You still have an L by the game, the 5 loss to the 12. And so ultimately, you missed out. It's the same thing we said about Tigers football last year when they were picked number one. I can give Penny all the credit in the world, and I have, for winning the regular season title, doing what you're supposed to do there, winning the conference tournament title. But in the end, you left something on the table, as Memphis football did last year. And that's where Memphis really can't afford to be right now. Whether it's on the football side or the basketball side, you have to be maximizing. You can't leave anything on the table. You know, Power Four schools can do that. You can't do that here, and particularly at a time where, let's be real, it's on both sides. Attendance is an issue on both sides. And so you have to win everything you can get and take every – I've continued to use that analogy because that's what – you've left things on the table that were gettable, whether it's football or basketball, the last couple of seasons. And here's the thing. You would set yourself up. Like, that's a credit to where you've got your programs to have something big and you didn't get accomplished. It's why it feels like the table is so full right now for Memphis football again. You want to see them cash in. That's look at the story that was just written about him in The Athletic about the Norvell coaching tree. 4 coaches that are now in the top 25. You know, Ryan Silverfield, 6-0. He's nationally relevant because most have got him picked as the group of 5 representing the college football playoff. You know, for Penny, winning conference titles, unfortunately, in the American doesn't mean a thing. To be nationally relevant, you've got to be banking the deep runs. And, again, if there's a balance, I don't think you're ever going to get back to the Cal-era days. But back to Cal, I think that's the part, Drew, that he's leaving out, right? You can't keep calling on nostalgia and those old feelings and unity and everything else if you don't have a product that, again, Memphis wants it nationally relevant. Memphis wants it talked about. We love – when the rest of the country has to shine that light on Memphis and say good things. It's just the way we've always felt. And so to do that, right, particularly back to that basketball program, it's about deep runs. You're investing at a level that it's possible. You had the 5 seed last year. You had a nice, you know, whether you get through, I think it would have been Maryland. You know, it's up for it. But a couple of years ago, you'd caught the break where it feels like you're about to beat FAU and you get Fairleigh Dickinson. You didn't break through there. You know, the opportunities were there. Yes, that's a credit to where Penny had it, but
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.